I can almost guarantee that the vast majority of people that you encounter in the United Kingdom in the 21st century will not want to be preached at. I'm sure we know from conversations with family and friends, the last thing they want is for someone to come along and push their view down their throat, be it their view of Christianity, immigration, climate change, or the latest conspiracy theory. Yet when we think about the phrase preaching the gospel, the image that may well come to our minds is of someone on a street corner shouting loudly a bizarre mixture of words which combine Jesus loves you if you're lucky with you're going to burn in hell, which is more likely. This image comes into our minds, and so when we think about what it might mean for us to preach the gospel, we think that we have to go and do likewise, even though that we know that such an endeavour is likely to be unsuccessful. We default to doing nothing rather than thinking tangentially as to whether there is another way to doing things. We would rather do nothing than consider whether we actually understood what it meant in the first place to share the gospel biblically. It means usually the problem becomes not that we are doing it in the wrong way, and by that I mean the street corner preacher being the wrong way, but that we end up not sharing the gospel at all in any manner. In order to preach the gospel, we therefore need to know two things: what it means to preach and what is the gospel. And that is where our reflections are going to focus this morning. And our readings from Mark's Gospel and Paul's first letters to the Corinthians can help us in this. Mark's Gospel doesn't begin with a narrative about Jesus' birth. After some brief words about John the Baptist, which are actually all about getting people ready for Jesus, it is Jesus who takes the center stage. Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. It's game on for Jesus. And Mark tells us what it's going to be about. God news, good news, Jesus teaching it, Jesus being it, the good news from God being made known in Jesus. And the good news is summed up in a single concept. The kingdom of God is here. It has arrived. The reign of God has king, as it was in the beginning, has been seen in stuttering incompletion in the life of Israel, has now come properly. Not because of human effort, not as an evolving reality, not as a religion to become affiliated to, but as a new moment in history through a personal appearance. Jesus is here, therefore the kingdom of God is here. And to experience it, you need to repent. Turn from what you were, and you need to believe. Turn to the good news and live it. This is Jesus, the one who brings this change, the one who is the gospel, the one who is the good news, the one who is the kingdom breaking in. God has come in Jesus. The good news is proclaimed. The kingdom has broken in. And Mark introduces this amazing new reality to his readers, and his gospel continues to announce this amazing new reality to people down through the centuries. What was true then is true now. Because when Jesus said, "The time has come," he was not talking about just one point in history. He was talking about every point in history from that point forward. Mark introduces us to the gospel and how it is shared with the world. And the gospel, as it is proclaimed, is embodied in Jesus. That is how it's preached. It's through Jesus that the gospel comes. Jesus proclaims it. That's how it's shared. All that we see Jesus do in Mark's gospel, in how he lives, talks, eats, acts, dies, and lives again, proclaims the gospel, preaches the gospel. Jesus embodies the gospel in all that he is. If Jesus sometimes preaches using words to share the vision of God's coming kingdom, but that's only one aspect of the way he does it. When he preaches, he often uses stories rather than admonishments. Jesus proclaimed the gospel by embodying the good news that God's kingdom was coming into the world. This was the gospel. Good news from God and good news about what God is doing. Because that's what the word gospel means. Good news. And this is our first orientation to what it means to preach the good news. The second direction marker we have is found when Paul reminds the church at Corinth of the gospel message that he shared with them 5 or so years earlier. It's not a full transcript of what he'd said previously. After all, he'd spent 18 months in the city. But it's a summary of the major points. In fact, these words that Paul shares are probably an early creed of the church used to share the core points of the gospel. A set of bullet points, we might call them today. It was a pithy reminder of what everyone needed to know about the gospel. What everyone needed to know then, and what everyone probably needs to know now. 1, Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. 2, Jesus died, saving us from our sins. 3, Jesus was buried. 4, Jesus was raised. And 5, Jesus was seen by witnesses. That's it. That's the gospel according to Paul in this passage. No 4 spiritual laws, no 13-week alpha course. Salvation comes from the shared story of Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, the King of God's coming kingdom, dying for our sins. He was buried, he was raised to new life, and we know it's true because people witnessed it. The gospel Paul shared is all about Jesus, all about his story, all about the one who has embodied the good news. All about what God has done for us in Jesus. And this is what Paul is reminding his readers and us about. The Greek word for gospel used in the New Testament is euangelion, and the verb for it, proclaim the gospel, is euangeliomion. And these are actually really common terms used in the world of the day. And they weren't specifically Christian terms. They were words that were used for any important or happy event. They were all good news in those days. They were all gospel events. News of imperial importance. News of imperial victories. National achievements. Weddings. Births. In one case, in an important document they found from the ancient past, the bargain price of anchovies is said to be gospel. These were all gospels. These were all considered to be good news. But the good news of Jesus is different. And if we want to share this good news, if we want to share this gospel, we need to know what it is. We need to find out before we try and share it. And we need to make sure we know what makes the good news about Jesus different. Because in our world, lots of people are sharing their gospel, their good news. It may not be the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's a message that they think is good news, a message that they think will change someone's life. And all these gospels are about where our hopes lie, where human history is going, what the dangers are in the world, where salvation is to be found, where we can find community, and how we can live a good life and become a good person. Be it nationalism, free market capitalism, democratic socialism, mindfulness, cold water swimming, or intermittent fasting, everyone's preaching some form of gospel with their lives. Followers of Jesus, though, need to proclaim the Jesus gospel. We love Jesus, therefore we share Jesus. And by this I mean we announce to the world the good news of Jesus. And we should make sure that the gospel we proclaim is really the gospel, and not often the fabrication that people can make it. The gospel is not, if you believe in Jesus, you can go to the good place after you die. The gospel is equally not, you're going to burn in hell unless you live differently. They may sound like the gospel you've heard, but it's not the gospel. Because the gospel is all about Jesus, the gospel is what about Jesus has done for you, and the gospel is good news, and it's good news for everyone. John Dixon offers this as a definition of gospel. The gospel is the announcement that God has revealed his kingdom and opened it up to sinners through the birth, teaching, miracles, death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will return to overthrow evil and consummate the kingdom for eternity. The gospel is that Jesus is the ultimate power in the universe, and that life in him is available to all. Through his birth, life, teachings, miracles, death, resurrection, ascension, and gift of the Spirit, Jesus has saved, is saving, and will save all of creation. And through a life of following Jesus, we can enter into his kingdom and into the very life of God himself. Now that is good news, and it is good news worth sharing. The gospel isn't just about what happens to us when we die, because the gospel is about what happens to us when we are alive as well. The gospel isn't just about you living differently so you can be saved, because the gospel is about you being saved so you can live differently. On the 20th of January 1961, President John F. Kennedy, in his inaugural address, sought to inspire the USA into acts of public service through his historic words, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." And it was a wonderful piece of rhetoric, and Sir Keir Starmer echoed some of his ideals in his first words as Prime Minister. But they are human words about human endeavour. They are words about humans seeking to pull themselves up by their bootstraps to do better, which we all need to do in terms of our common life, certainly. However, we can take this pull yourself up by your bootstraps vision into our sharing of the gospel. We can present the gospel of Jesus as if somehow we get our house in order, then Jesus will come and live in our house. That's not the gospel. It's never the gospel. The gospel never starts with us. The gospel always starts with God. It always starts with God's gracious initiative. It's never about asking what you can do for God in order to be saved. It's always about remembering what God has already done for you. What he's already done for you in Jesus. The gospel is all about God's loving and gracious action in Jesus, and we can have faith in that. Jesus' words in Mark's gospel are repent and believe. To experience faith in Jesus, you need to repent. To repent means to turn around from what you were and choose to live differently. To choose to live differently is the believing bit. To turn to the good news and live it bit. The gospel doesn't come because of human effort, not as an evolving reality, not as a religion to become affiliated to, but as a new moment in history through the personal appearance of God in Jesus, and we just need to believe and live in the light of it. We experience it for ourselves and then share that experience with others. The holiday season seems to extend all year, really, these days. However, we're coming to peak holiday time. And we may have those around us who will love to come and share extended commentaries of what they've done on their holidays. Share all their photos with us. And you may well like doing this with people yourselves. If you can get excited about your holiday, if you can get excited about sharing news of the England football team, the England cricket team, the election result, your house decor, your garden, in fact, anything, then you should be able to get excited about the possibility of sharing the good news which is supposed to have transformed your life to the greatest degree.
I'm preaching here to myself as much as anyone else.
The good news that we share with the world needs to be done in a way that moves away from the mean-spirited kind of preaching that's often left people feeling degraded and demeaned. And we need to find ways that announce the good news in a world, to a world that is at best ambivalent to Christianity and at worst is hostile to it. We need to share the good news with a passion and an excitement, but also a sensitivity and an authenticity. Whereas street preaching, passing out tracts and ambushing your neighbours is unlikely to be successful, cooking a meal for someone, gently offering a prophetic word to a friend, inviting a co-worker to a conversation about faith, and an act of quiet service in your community might just be the ticket. We live in a world that desperately needs some good news. People are lonely and isolated and feel that no one knows them that well. The digital age creates the illusion that we're all connected. But there is an ache within so many people to be seen, known, and loved. And the good news of Jesus can come and meet the world still through the gospel, that Jesus embodies, brings hope and healing to all people. We just need to share that embodied and real gospel of grace with the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the good news that fills our hearts and has so transformed our lives bubble up within us and through the power of your Spirit overflow into the lives of those we encounter each and every day. Lord Jesus, enable us to share you with the world, we pray. Amen.